Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal is on the air. I'm your host, Senator JPO. WPR Rebuttal gives you the perspective that the Board of Regents, the owners of Wisconsin Public Radio, would rather you not hear. But here we are today. Our call-in number is 929-477-3965. And I've talked up the show in the comments section of Wisconsin Public Radio website. I've talked it up on LinkedIn. And there's an ongoing continuity of some audience. We have a lot of repeat listeners. So chances are we'll have some callers. But if not, I have more than enough material to fill out a half-hour block. So our first item of business is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin has proposed, whether jokingly or seriously, it remains to be determined, but he has put the idea out in the public domain that video documentaries and online tutorials can replace some instruction that presently goes on at brick-and-mortar universities. In other words, it would just be making some of the mandatory classroom attendance. It would strip that down, and it would allow students to go and take like a massive multi-online open course or MMOC, which is kind of the angle of the future anyway. So, you know, Mr. Johnson is just going and I'm not saying he's prematurely proposing it, but I'm just saying is that he recognizes what's coming, this change to higher education landscape, and he's floating a trial balloon. That's the way I'll phrase it. A trial balloon is just when you put an idea into the public sphere for discussion to see how well or poorly it's received. And really, Senator Johnson, he was in a contentious position with the whole Trans-Pacific Partnership because I did not like him voting in support of that Trans-Pacific Partnership. But now with him coming out and saying that he wants to, I guess, he didn't say reform higher education, but he wants to do something about higher education. And when Senator Johnson said higher education is a cartel, well, that instantly won back my vote. Thankfully for him, his vote on TPP was on a non-election year. And with it being election season months, he knew precisely the issue that speaks to me most prominently, and that is higher education being a cartel. Because, I've told the story about total lines and offline as well. But the whole point is that if educators could just dismiss my school of work horror story as just like statistical noise, then they'd have a better footing. But they can't. And the reason they can't is because they don't have the data that disprove that my situation is sufficiently rare where they can just say, well, tough luck, you know, just a chump, and we ain't going to change our monitoring of the outcomes, or they don't even do that right now. They don't really monitor how many of their students are succeeding after they get their degree. And what I'm proposing at a few levels, one is at the federal level, where I'd make Title IV funding contingent upon such annual reports of how the graduates are doing 1 year after degree conferral. And at another level would be a state general purpose revenue, or a GPR, would also be contingent upon these reports of how the students are doing, or rather to how the graduates are doing a year after they graduate. The students, well, again, like I was doing extremely well as a student, but it had zero bearing at how well I did after I was a graduate, when I was no longer a student. I mean, it was like stepping out of a different world. It was that different. So the whole measures of student success are not necessarily capturing an accurate picture of how well the recent alumni are doing, and if a critical mass of recent alumni are struggling, let's say maybe 20%, I'd say that would be a critical mass because it's statistically significant, then obviously something should be done at a policy level. And this brings us to Senator Johnson's proposal to have, again, videos replace some academic instruction. And again, like right away, the higher education hucksters came out of the woodwork and they're vilifying Mr. Johnson. And I won't repeat some of the things they said about him, but the whole point is that Mr. Johnson makes some good points, or rather, he understands. What I mean is that he wasn't really quoted much. I mean, I'm sure on C-SPAN they probably had a clip of him making extended remarks, but I don't get cable, and I primarily read the written online news. I don't have the time to go and watch all these videos. So what I will say, though, is what I propose as like a compliment to Senator Johnson's remarks. Now, okay, so the original article that broke the story, WPR never breaks any news. Wisconsin Public Radio just parrots and repeats what our news outlets do. But Wisconsin State Journal was referencing the Reuters News Agency. And of course, Thomson Reuters owns Reuters News Agency. And Thomson Reuters gave at least $5,000,001 and up to $10 million to the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation at some point within the last 4 quarters. So within the last year, Thomson Reuters, the parent company, this big news agency, gave at least a dollar more than $5 million to the Clinton Foundation. So you know who they're polling for, and that's why these Reuters-Ipsos polls can't really be completely trusted because they're not entirely dispassionate. But okay, so WPR was just repeating what Ron Johnson told the Reuters reporters. And it's really easy to take this quotation out of context. But essentially here, my remarks provide the appropriate context by which to understand the frustration against the institutions of higher education. You know, why are so many disgruntled grads chiming in about how they wish they had not gone and earn their degree from the public university? So, WPR.org, Ron Johnson proposed replacing college instructors-videos, and quotation is, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson has an idea for making colleges cheaper. Ditch the instructors and start playing online videos for students. He then called higher education a cartel. And you know what I said? I agree with Senator Johnson. Higher education is a cartel. And I've been referring to it as a higher education administrative complex, but cartel is an equally apropos descriptor. Alex also wanted to interject our call number here. If you want to engage me, Senator JPO, or anything else that's been in the news recently, our call number is 929-477-3965. And going back to my remarks, many feel compelled to go to college, but when they graduate from some middle-tier place, usually somewhere they choose because it's local or at least in state, new alumni are divided into haves and have-nots. We don't know the extent to which recent graduates are not only becoming have-nots, but also ending up stuck in that unsavory situation. To reiterate my own example, I was jobless for a time before Pizza Hut hired me as a waiter, and that was after graduating with a master's degree in public administration. And a Washington County Daily News had an article first on my attempts to get work, and then they had a follow-up article when Pizza Hut hired me, and a lot of customers thought I was hired as a manager, and I quickly corrected them. Well, unfortunately, no, only as a waiter. So you know, they were kind of non-plus two that I was only hired as a waiter, but whatever. They aren't in hiring positions, so that's pretty much just kind of like they could only fear for how their own children are going to fare, and you know, whether they actually want to let their children risk going to a liberal arts university, or they just want to encourage them to work full time and then see if they even need any college to advance within the company where they're at. But so at any rate, yeah, Pizza Hut hired me as a waiter, and then before Pizza Hut went out of business, I persuaded a staffing agency to sign me work as a packer and palletizer. Now, unfortunately, that obviously doesn't use my degree, and it's not salaried, and it doesn't have any benefits, and it's not even temp to hire. Now, I've worked in that role for nearly 2 years and ongoing, and I negotiated a 30% raise, but still, that's a pretty crummy position to wind up in for someone who spends so much time in higher education. It's kind of like I'm the poster child of just like the worst case example, okay? And we just don't know how frequent it is, and the reason I suspect it's more frequent than maybe the universities or your supporters are laying on, and successful people tend to know our successful people, so they're in their own information bubble. But I finally met another UW-Milwaukee grad, and he had been pursuing technical writing, and he actually moved away, I guess, to San Francisco for some time, but he obviously did not need enough success there, so he ended up moving back home with his parents, and he's working the same job that I am, and I'm just like, hey, you know, if you need other work that you can do from home, then you can try Sitel, but whatever. I mean, Observe Job Vacancies blog is going to have a review on that, but it's definitely not the worst job, but just kind of like, it's really crummy for a college grad to do that. I mean, especially after so many years been out of college. Like, that guy graduated in 2011, so he's been out of college 4 years. I've been out of college 5 years. We're both working the same mediocre palooka job, and it's just like, I mean, between the two of us, you could extrapolate this is going on in other counties, not only in Wisconsin, but across the United States. So, again, there are enough students where you could sample it, and we need that sampling, and the only question is how to reach them, right? The universities have the information. They do. Alumni foundations definitely have the information, so there's no excuse not to conduct the study. So it seems my degrees held me back in the labor market because I had to call a staffing agency every week for 10 months. 10 months of calling in before the recruiter placed me. And I thought that was normal until when I was talking with our temps, you know how it is. If they see you often enough, they start to open up. Well, it turns out, although none of them had four-year degrees like I did, I mean, I have a master's degree, but all of those non-college-educated people had been placed almost immediately by the agency. In their words, within a day or two. Whereas my college-educated self had been given the runaround for, again, 10 months. So, again, that's another instance in which that degree hurt me. And I'm just saying, hey, these people earning their degrees, they don't want to shelter in academia after I'm done talking with them. Because when they find out that this is really what happened, and it is a serious situation with horrible consequences, I mean, they just don't want to risk it anymore. And again, these are people too, like, it's only so long before an unemployed grad can go and say, hey, that university really helped me, before the world tells them, no, it didn't. Now, of course, here's where it gets into the, I guess, the assignments of cause, like the attribution as to why the degree failed to confer a wage premium. And here's really the meat of the argument, okay? Again, that's why I want these universities to go and be forced into finding out the numbers on this, because if it's not just mere statistical noise, then it's really a genuine policy problem. And again, that's why we're electing people who are, quote, destroying the schools, unquote. And again, I've commented back and forth with these Wisconsin public radio readers, and, you know, a lot of them are mad at me for expressing my support for like Republican politicians, and my rationale, my rebuttal to them is that, well, the more you make fun of me and goad me on. I mean, the more Republican politicians that me and my kind, i.e. disgruntled college grads, are going to elect. I mean, it's a different movement. Just kind of like it's more grassroots than Occupy Wall Street, because that had nonprofit interest group money rolling in. My movement, $0 interest group money. It's just angry college graduates fought each other through social media and saying, hey, do you feel like I do? Like that Peter Frampton song. And, yeah, just finding common ground with others who hate what the higher education hucksters did, their massive deception, and they're finding common ground on how to fix that, especially via legislative action. And that's why the Governor Walkers and the Senator Johnsons of the world are coalescing in finding ways to take back a student occupational outcomes orientation that the self-satisfied academicians have seemed to ignore for far too long. Well, this would be a great spot for a commercial break, so I'll see you in about 1 minute. Here goes the commercials.
Areas are yelled into shriek for you and yours. Mildly sweet with a firm and gentle texture. Airheads are a candy that I frequently buy. Airheads, they have a taste that is out of control. Dollar General is a satisfied stock on snacks, soda, sundries, and seasonal items. Staff are friendly and efficient, serving an impressive amount of customers. Dollar General, when you see it in black and yellow, you have a reason to feel the metal. Aldi has been an American tradition since 1976. Remain true to its roots as all at discount. Today's Aldi provides loyal groceries with a premium taste. Aldi, healthy food at healthy prices.
Okay, welcome back to WPR Rebuttal. I'm your host, Senator JPO. Our call number is 929-477-3965. And our topic today is reviewing all the comments, all the reader reactions to some recent articles about Senator Ron Johnson's comments about replacing instructors with videos. And not only at the UW system, but at all the universities throughout the United States. And I began explaining why that actually would not really hurt the quality of instruction, at least not from where I stand, because, well, for one, I mean, obviously it would reduce the cost. And two, logistically, it would just make it easier to complete the creds. But the third part is that a lot of these instructors, especially like these lifers in the university system, they are just so cynical towards the students, and they don't help you out in terms of getting like any internships or laboratory placements or research opportunities. Like, I was offered zero research opportunities, and I contended like anyone else. But and again, that's why just the fact that the instructors did not warm up to me substantially. I mean, sure, I met a few glad-handers who tried to be everyone's friend, but when it came down to it, oh, no, I already fill all my research positions in. It was like I'm not going to swear live, but because the FCC, but yeah, every bleeping semester, that was the case. So, of course, I was going to run around even in college. So, obviously, I'm not going to sing their praises when they treated me like horse manure. that's just the facts. I mean, they did literally nothing to invest in my goodwill. So now, I mean, it shouldn't be scratching your heads. It's like, oh, why is Senator JPO hating on us like this? I mean, come on. They had all these opportunities to make good with me. And, you know, it's like they treat me like I would never amount to anything. And here I am amounting to something, and that's I'm amounting to a $250 million budget cut. I'm amounting to weakening your tenure, you bunch of unmentionables. That's all I'm going to say about them. But, so, yeah, with all due respect, college instructors are only as helpful with probing questions as students are in knowing the questions to ask. So, I mean, students that may begin to say Ivies are probably going to be better with that. But again, it's more of a student-led discussion. And that's the same thing, especially with the Honors College. I mean, if your student peers are ignorant and you don't really know the good questions to ask either, then the Honors College instructor is pretty much going to take the easy way out and just skate through. And I mean, maybe cut the class a little short, but it's just going to make the assignments more difficult because then you have to go and kind of grasp in the dark, especially on these literary assignments, which I always didn't like the literary assignments because it had very little applicability to the real world, and yet those were almost always the only remaining sections I could get into because for whatever reason, I always ended up like being unable to register. I was really locked out of the online registration until like after most of the stuff had been filled. Yeah, after most of the course sections had been already allocated. So, again, more discrimination by UNMilwaukee. I don't like the university at all. Man. Okay, so by that measure of poor return of, like, my professors were about as helpful as a video or as a box of rocks, take your pick, in helping me network. So the fact that they didn't help me network anyway, it didn't offer me any internships or research opportunities. Well, I'm sure it's the same for a lot of our people, too. So the untallied troves of unemployed grads are going to run around by their professors, by internship providers in the college. They're the ones that are voting for Senator Ron Johnson. They're the ones that are voting for Governor Scott Walker because they're sick and tired of the UW system getting this free pass to just go and ignore them like a pile of horse manure. I guess the horse manure would be treated even better because, you know, it's a commodity, whereas the underemployed college grad, you know, it's not not as much of a commodity in terms of, like, I know that's kind of hyperbole because, you know, every human life is supposed to have value, but, man, between the way that people in Wisconsin Public Radio readers comment and between the way the hiring managers are like, well, eat excrement and die, I mean, they don't treat these underemployed graduates as if their lives have any value. And so it's really dehumanizing, and these dehumanized people are voting in people, these politicians who are going to, like, take the vengeance by destroying the middle school, I mean, the K-12 schools, I mean, the elementary, middle, and high schools. And I use destroy in very loose quotation marks. I guess you could call them scare quotation marks because in terms of, like, creating conditions where school districts have a lot of unfilled vacancies, but really it's the school district hiring manager's fault for just being too picky. And there's always going to be enough educational labor surplus to educate our children, just that school districts have to be less picky. I mean, beggars can't be choosers. If it comes down to not educating kids in a subject or educating them at least, with someone who you might not want to take a chance on, but they know how to educate and they have just a working knowledge of it and they can follow a curriculum and read out of a book, well, why not take a chance on that person, right? That's why I have liability and Arizona Mission Insurance. So it's more a school district's fault than anything for just saying your standard's too bloody high. But, here's funny, something else that's funny. Who responds to Ron Johnson but aspiring wannabe hero of UW, Raymond Cross? Woo-hoo, yeah. You ain't so great, Ray, although I'm glad that you the one great thing that Raymond Cross did is he told the chancellors at the campuses to essentially stuck it. Suck in their bellies and take it like a champ about the budget cuts. Yeah, he told them to stop whining about it, and that was in May, so that's good. I mean, Raymond Cross is, I guess, a few good moments, but I call him King of UW. I made a song about it in early May, and all these four-year campuses and all the UW colleges voted no confidence in Ray Cross, and yet he's still the president of the UW system, because the Board of Regents decided that, hey, he's good enough. Why rock the boat? Why change someone when really you need someone like that who's just going to be a hard ass and just steer the budget in the right direction, i.e. Navigate the retrenchments. And he's asking for $42 million this biennium, but I would say probably the budget might be frozen. I don't foresee another big cut, although if they do cut again, they could reallocate the budget to the Department of Transportation. And that brings me to this. Okay. Here we are. So restoring the Department of Transportation budget, I have a few ideas. And that is, one, you could take away another $250 million from the UW system. And a way you could enact that is just to convert some permanent roles into student-only jobs. And, obviously, you cut down on compensation, but you also get out of having to pay unemployment insurance because of this unjust law, Wisconsin Statute 108.02, letter I, forbids student workers from ever being eligible to earn unemployment insurance. So, it's not fair at all, but it's a way you could use the student workers to go and cut the costs, and it would actually give the students more credibility, more professional cash before they even graduate. So I would actually be in favor of that. And if we repeal Wisconsin Statute 108.02, letter I, then all the better, because then the student workers can get unemployment insurance and get that for up to 50 weeks while they look for follow-up work. I mean, that'd be perfect. Well, of course, that's too much of a common sense solution, and the idiots in charge of unemployment insurance policy are going to implement that within the next few years. But what's another thing? Oh, okay. DVR. Yeah. Cut at least $39 million from the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. And that's within workforce development. But here's how we would cut out $39 million from DVR. So get rid of the education and training grants for undecided students. They don't know what the hell they're going to do, and don't even give them anything. And then those who decide to major in low-return programs, such as public administration, oh, my gosh. No, it's just so a person, the average person and above-average person even, is unlikely to succeed in getting a career out of their public admin degree. That's just a fact. I mean, you have to be like an elite. And if you're an elite, then you're not going, you may as well not bother you in Milwaukee because you're going below your station. You may as well be going to the Ivies. The public admin programs suck. They don't do jack squid for your career. And the only people who I know have gotten anywhere with an MPA degree are those who either been in the military a long time and or just like been a firefighter or in law enforcement. They had an existing career before the MPA. Those who get in the MPA and they graduate and still have a career, well, they're squid owl lug. So a euphemism there to avoid swearing and FCC fines. What else? Get rid of the payments to these useless community partners. I'm talking the Threshold. I'm talking VARC, Vern Area Resource Center, and other employers of low-functioning individuals because, you know, the only reason that they hire people is because they have sub-minimum wage certificates. Yeah, and that's not given by DVR. That's given by the Wage and Hour Division. So you can cut those out of the DVR grants. Another thing to cut from DVR, salaries and benefits of vocational rehabilitation counselors, and replace it at least by, let's say, by 30% with outcomes-oriented commission. And you give a maximum condition, commission, if the counselor places the client within a job within a certain amount of time, let's say within 30 days, and you reduce that commission by the length of time it takes for the client to be placed into a work assignment that's longer than 3 months. And you know why this would work? Because then you actually motivate vocational rehabilitation counselor to get real results. Yeah, too many DVR counselors just go in there and they're 9-to-5ers and they give the follow the same cookie cutter template process of look at the resume and maybe break out a list of possible employers, but they don't actually get you hired anywhere because I mean, if someone's in DVR, they're not going to be good at negotiating a job offer. Okay, that's where a DVR counselor is supposed to help. And the DVR counselors just dilly-dally for years on end, and even worse, they'll say, well, oh, well, you can go and get an education, but you can't ever do what I do. I mean, come on, the gall. And putting them on a commission for this would make them give a damn. It would force them to care. But we're running out of time, so I'm just going to say that we'll probably have another episode next week. I'm just bringing up my calendar right now to see exactly when that will be. It's actually going to be Friday, September 2nd at 1:30, and that'll be your next episode of WPR Rebuttal. But again, I'll have links to all my comments on the Blogspot webpage and some other bonus material too. WPR Rebuttal signing off.